What a cool prayer, huh? As we start this school year. And so excited that you are here today. Thanks for all those that are watching online. Again, if you are a first-time guest with us, I hope that you feel a sense of warmth and community and that you are loved and challenged today. And it's exciting as we continue our series, Colossians, and we talk about prayer. Now, I remember when I was a junior in high school, I was part of a traveling music group, and one of my directors of that group, a very good friend of mine, I've spoke about him before, his name is Brad Lockwood. He's the only person I know who is actually an ordained pastor and a lawyer. So there's a lot of jokes you could, put him in the same room, A lawyer, pastor, walk into a store. Oh, wait, that's him. Anyways, he was so transformational in my life. And as I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 13 years old, I remember I was at a winter fest for a bunch of groups of Free Methodists in the Northern and Eastern Conferences here in Michigan. And I was at Center Lake Bible Camp in February of 1994, and I gave my heart to Christ. And I remember that really clearly, and I was continuing to grow, and I continue to grow to this day. We're never stopped growing, right? And Brad was very foundational in my life, but between my junior and senior year, I kind of started wondering whether God really who he said he was, and Jesus Christ, it was Jesus really who he was. Is this something I really want to live for? I mean, I go to church, my parents go to church. Is there something bigger than this? And then there are certain things that happened in my life, nothing crazy, just as a teenager, there would be some decisions I had to make and some relational decisions I had to make. And I remember I was, the end of my junior year, we were traveling to a concert somewhere in the northern part of Michigan. And I was with my friend Brad, and Brad passed away just a year or so ago. And I remember kind of telling Brad some of the things I was working through, some of the frustrations I had, some of the questions I had. And he said this to me as I was talking, and he was listening intently, really nice. But he said this to me very intently, and it's on the screen here. Have you talked to God about it yet? I was like, what do you mean? No, I'm talking to you about it right now, Brad. We'll talk to God later. I want to talk to you. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't listen or provide advice, but what Brad was telling me in this instance was that some of the things that I was struggling with, some of the questions I had, some of the hurts, some of the burdens I had, I was keeping all to myself. And so he said, Brad's like, have you talked to God about it yet? And so when I think about that, I think about what is the person who created us, the being that created us, we're created in the image of God. He knows our instruction manual. He knows how we work because he designed you. He designed me. Why not, when we are confused or when we struggle, why not ask him first? And so that's a question I want to pose to you today in this just really short devotional about, have you talked to God about it yet? Is he the first one we go to when something is challenging us, when we have a question, even when we need to praise him for something that he's done? Do we go to him first? Because as we look into the book of Colossians, as Paul writes from a prison cell to this church, now it's interesting because if you've heard about in the last couple weeks, this was a new church. Their identity was obviously formulated in who Christ was, that Christ came and he ministered and then he died and then he rose again. I mean, that's the story that they're living. But during this time in Colossae, many people had these different versions that didn't require or didn't connect us to the living God. They had this kind of humanistic idea that, hey, they were going to figure it out themselves, with enough of their own strength. And we know that if we look into Scripture, we can do nothing unless it is through the strength of the Lord Almighty. We cannot do anything because, again, he built us, He connected with us. And see, the early church was saying, you know, you Christians, there's other ways to connect with God. There's other ways to deal with your hurt. There's other ways. And so we call these things kind of like these heresies that were bubbling up. But Paul speaks to the early church and says, no, let me tell you one thing. The way to fully connect, the first person to ask, the first person to relinquish joy to is the one who created you. And so what's interesting about this is that Paul writes in this letter about how constant connection in prayer. And it's not a have to, it's a get to. Which when it comes to prayer, many of us have some misconceptions. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a second. But the early church believed the story of Jesus and about fully communicating with him in all things. We were made to be in a relationship with the one who made us and loved us. And we were made to call out to the one in all of our joys, hurts, and confusion. We were designed to pray. We were designed to pray. It's not unnatural. It is a natural piece of who we are. And so if you have your Bibles with you today, it's going to be up on the screen. And I'm sorry, I do not have the page number. I forgot to write that down. But we're going to be in Colossians chapter 4. And it's going to be here up on the screen. And this is what Paul is saying to the early church. It's really a powerful thing. And by the way, there's Bibles in your pews. And if you don't have a Bible, take one. Take that. Don't worry. We do not have security with anything. You're not going to buzz at the door. You know, if you have a neighbor or a friend or you don't have one, take a Bible, please. That's our gift to you. So here Paul is telling this early church who have heard all these different ways to communicate and to be able to connect with God and their own understanding and to be able to deal with their own problems. He says this in verse 2, chapter 4. Devote yourselves to what?
Prayer.
Being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. You know what's interesting in this whole understanding is that as Paul writes these in chains, and you can just picture, he has been a person that has been sought out, who has been persecuted because he speaks the name of Jesus. And even as I can think, as you look into Scripture, Paul, as he's chained, continues to communicate with God, even in the most difficult, horrendous circumstances, he still believes in the one who created him. And calls out to him. And so this devotion to prayer is not a have to, it's that we get to. And when we are renewed, we're renewed in that conversation with the one who made life and the one who breathes life into us. Verse 4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Verse 5 says this. Be what?
Wise
in the ways you act toward outsiders. In your prayers, what it's saying here is, in your prayer, pray particularly in the wisdom that does not come from yourself, because you're not a wise guy or a wise gal. Your wisdom comes from the one who created you. Be thoughtful of those that are outside of these walls. Church, let me tell you, my heart warms. We are a bunch of broken people. I'm a broken person that come together and try to live for Jesus Christ, who uses us as broken people to change the world in his name. I'm so excited that we're willing to be a church that says, let's use God's wisdom and care for those at the Big B every Sunday night. And have deep conversations and meaningful conversations to develop relationships. I'm excited that we're wise to what God is telling us as we go in an Norwegian every Monday and we do dinner church and we have food and we care deeply about the people in that community, either they come in or not. To be wise to those that are outside. That's huge, because that's the way Jesus lived his life. Make the most of every opportunity. Verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of what? Grace. Seasoned with salt. So that you may know how to answer everyone. That whole understanding of grace and truth is a great mixture when we come forward. When we come and we pray, whatever it might be simple words. I mean, I've heard kids say, Jesus, I'm with you. Or Jesus, be with me today. As you drop off, I know when I drop off Ansley, my daughter who's now in second grade, I say, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Live for him. And she's like, I know, Dad. Well, the other day, I said, you know, now she's developed, she's had a summer to grow and all of that. I said the same thing to her. I said, Ansley, you know, love God, love others, be him. And she's like, I know, Dad, I talked to him about that this morning. And it made me understand that her communication with the living God. And when I think about that communication, we cannot do any live in hope, live in grace and truth, if we're not in constant communication. And I believe the misconception in our world today when it comes to prayer is that sometimes, for many of us in our busy world, prayer can be an interruption to us. It's causing us to have to pause. It's causing us to have to slow down. Let me tell you, the enemy wants to do all he can to keep you busy, to keep you running around, so you can't connect with the one who created you. Believe me, I've had those weeks where my tank is exactly empty. Because I know formally, I haven't decided to pause and to call out to the one who created me. Either to thank him for what he's given me, or to the Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but you are the giver of life. I give it to you. The most natural thing we ever did was pray. Like a breath. A long time ago, that's, I think 10 to 15 years ago. I guess that's a long time ago, right? I remember I spent some time at a place called Mount Sager Monastery near Elmira, New York, up in the foothills. It was beautiful. They had a bunch of monks there that made fruitcake. Made me like fruitcake, actually. But what was interesting about this guy, you know, these are monks, and you would work and you would help make fruitcake with them in the morning if you signed up. It was really fun. And so I remember talking to one of the monks, Brother Christopher, and he was smelling the morning air just after someone had scooped out the remnants from the sheep. Oh, praise the Lord for breath. You smell what I'm smelling? And he says, Eric, and every breath, as it says in Scripture, praise the Lord. And so he had this idea that any time he was aware of his breathing, I'm sure I watched him. He would hold his breath or anything like that. But he would remind himself constantly the goodness of God, and you commune and connect with God. Boys and girls, it doesn't have to be when we pray. It doesn't have to be a bunch of flowery words. It can be just, Jesus, I love you. I know you love me. Be with me. Or it could be simple. I know you're there, Jesus. And for us, that simple ability, if we're driving to the grocery store, how we found and we've carved out that time to pray. And it comes back to this other understanding. Do we really trust in that communication of prayer? Do we trust that God is listening? Do we trust that his ears and his heart are wide open? And I love this verse in Proverbs, where it says, what's the first word there?
Trust
in the Lord with all your what?
Heart.
And lean not on your own what?
Understanding.
In all your ways, submit to him, and He will make your paths what? There's this aspect that we don't, I don't know if I share this with the Lord, is he going to say yes, no, or wait? Yes. Is He going to be able to respond when I want to? I don't know. Is He going to be able to respond the way I like to? I don't know. But I do know this. God hears your prayers. And you are not alone. And when He hears with compassion, not with ears of that are just, oh, I'll listen to that. He hears our prayers. And my friend, since He hears us, He cares for us. Deeper than the word care can come through. We continue with this verse. We trust in Him. But do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not think that you, in the sense in this scripture, it's saying, don't think that you can come up with your own. You can't save yourself, only He can save you. Fear the Lord and shun what?
Evil.
Evil, because the evil one wants you to be busy so that you don't connect with the living God. And verse 8, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to what? Your bones. It will breathe life into you when you communicate with the one who breathed life into all. The bishop of the Free Methodist Church, Dr. David Kendall, says this quote about prayer. Should be up there. So prayer is not the pause. It is the life we're given that pauses to include everything we experience. So prayer is not the pause. It is the life that we're given that pauses to include everything that we experience. Is there another part to that?
No.
Okay. But I love what he says in this understanding. When we experience that time, and I want to encourage you, if you don't pray, because it's interesting, they did an interesting survey about a year ago that Jesus followers pray less than 10 minutes a day. And I want to encourage you, friends, kids, let be prayer apart. Maybe you need to start somewhere. Start in the morning. Or maybe remind yourself as you have lunch break to pray. Or maybe you're watching the birds and you say, that's what I'm going to pray. Or maybe you're in the grocery store and pray. Find these nuggets to pray. To connect with the living God who will breathe life into you. So don't let the misconceptions be. It's unnatural. Or don't let the misconception come that he doesn't hear, because he does, and he does love you. So, the question is, as you come to somebody with a problem, with a brother and sister in Christ, I think the good question should ask, have you talked to God about it yet? Has he been the first person that you speak to, either in joy, sorrow, or pain? Let's speak to the one, the giver of life. Almighty God, who loves us deeply, that He sends one and only Son for us. For that, I want to continue to hear and speak to the living God. And I hope you do too. Lord, I'm going to have you come to the piano if you can. Just play something really soft. I want us to not just talk about prayer. I want us to spend some time in some collective prayer. I'm going to guide you through this a little bit. And so, right now I'm going to ask even kids, as you continue to color, that's okay, you can do that. This is a beautiful place where we can hear our prayers. I'm going to ask that every head would bow and eye would close for a second. I want you to just get in a posture of prayer. And I'm going to give you just these four things. We're going to take just a couple seconds to pray through these together. I want you to think of someone, one or two people right now, in your mind, that are hurting deeply. You have those two names? In silent prayer, would you spend a couple moments praying for them? whether you have kids around or you pray for your neighbors or even the children that are in your block. You might know their name, you might not. You know that family or you know of those kids or you just pray, Lord, be with those children, the families as they go to school. Can you picture them right now? Would you pray for them right now? Lastly, I'm going to ask you to think about yourself over here. Are you spending that time communicating with the living God? If you are, pray, Lord, continue to help you be centralized. If that's something that is there's busyness or you're not able to connect with God in the way, I'm going to ask you to pray that, Lord, would you prompt me? Would you give me a chance to be able to carve out that time? Wherever you're at, spend some time in prayer right now. Thank you for friends that are here. Wherever they're at, either they're followers of Jesus or they maybe used to be followers of Jesus or they're checking things out online. Or maybe they're followers of Jesus. They're just going through a rough patch right now. I'm wondering if you're there and how it's going to work. Lord, I pray that in these prayers we pray for others. We also pray, Lord, that we would draw close to you and talk to you. Communicate with you because you are the creator of all things.